We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you in grace and love have given us for the salvation of our souls. And we pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 48, a den of thieves. It is a shocking truth that the most terrifying words that were ever spoken on this earth came from the mouth of the Son of God. Matthew 25, 41, for example. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Three little words. Depart from me. But how devastating those words are. Just think for a moment what they mean. The Son of God, King of creation, created all things, gives us everything we need and many things we, this is above and beyond. And he says, depart from me. There are no more terrifying words in all Scripture. In the text this morning, we see Jesus in a light that we are not used to seeing him. In anger, we see him driving out the money changers from the temple. And this bothers the God is love people, or the everyone is welcome people. But let's remember that not all anger is wrong. There is such a thing as righteous anger. And it would be very wrong not to have it. Even for the Son of God, or his elect bride, the very small remnant. We're looking at a text that's very well known. We'll spend a little bit of time on it and then amplify it in a little different way. But he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. So we know that when there's no faith, there's no good works either. And when the doctrines are wrong, the works are wrong also. So we see a double fault here. The ones that sold were sinning and selling false teachings besides animals and charging sky-high prices for the animals that were sold for sacrifices. So they were wrong. But the ones who bought were also sinning because they wanted the false teaching that they were hearing. They had itching ears and they heaped to themselves teachers that told them what they wanted to hear. And they bought that was being sold because they needed an animal for sacrifice. So false teaching and false living always go together. And an evil tree cannot produce good fruit. And evil ones can fool other people for a while, but they can't fool God. So the Son of God, twice in his ministry, once at the beginning and now at the end, walks in to the temple of God and drives out the money changers. And he didn't say, look, guys, would you please leave and not yell so loud? And no, he said, go and depart from me. He kicked them out. And he said unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Notice how often in his ministry the Son of God worked according to it is written. Where was it written? Well, for one place, it was written in Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. House of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. That's where it was written. And Jesus quoted that. Notice, this is a theme throughout all Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It is written, and God is in full control of every single thing that happens. We got to remember that. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. This is a precious verse. Don't forget this one. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. We don't have to be afraid to bring children into this world, which is on its last legs and destined for destruction. We don't have to be afraid of that, because the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. There are many examples in this of people who, when we look at the outward condition and situation, never should have been able to make it. But God brought them through it. Moses would be a good example. There are many, many, many others. But the fishermen didn't stop there. That's only half the verse. Now let's read the whole verse. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. When it seems like everything's going right for these heathen people, they're just being buttered up for the kill. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the Father and the Holy Spirit. They hate the blood of Christ, the bride of Christ. And they'd like to sneak in. There were 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom that night, but only 5 went into the kingdom of God with him. The others were kept out. The Lord knoweth how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. How did he do it that night? He did it that night by delaying his coming. And the oil that they had, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but they weren't really serious in this. They didn't store up oil. They had enough they thought they could make it. They knew a few Bible verses, and that was enough. But it wasn't enough. He delayed his coming, and their lamps went out. The Lord knoweth how to reserve the unjust unto the day to be punished. Let's remember that. God is controlling every single thing that happens. So these people changed the temple into a den of thieves. And, well, that was written too, by the way. Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 8. Jeremiah 7, beginning at verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will question, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and yet come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? In this house, which is called by my name, it has become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. So God is always watching. The Son of God, he taught daily in the temple. Remember, we're in Holy Week right now. Very, very close, the way Luke records this. Very close to the crucifixion. And what is Jesus doing? He's doing exactly the same thing for the other, he did for the other 2.5 or more years. He's teaching and he's preaching. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. These are the VIPs, the ruling class of the Jewish people. It's called the Sanhedrin. And they're enemies, and they're in high places. And why are they enemies? Because they don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's why they hate him. They hate him. And the ones who said at first, through their leader Nicodemus, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for nobody could do the things you're doing except God be with him. Now they're saying he's in cahoots with Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He's an imposter. And they hated him. But they had a problem. And they could not find a way that they might do away with him, or what they might do with him, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. That was their problem. Many of the people outwardly accepted Jesus. And there's a truth here. And we can relate to this. Every single one of us. If you don't fear God, you're going to fear people. And if you fear people, you're not going to fear God. No man can serve two masters. Okay, so now we're going to look at some of the hard sayings of Jesus. And some of these things that I made reference to in saying that the most terrifying words that have ever been spoken came from the mouth of the Son of God. And first of all, a little comparison, contrast. There is a saying, it's a scientific saying, I don't know if it's right or not. I can believe that it is. But the saying is this: for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And there seems to be a truth in that. And I don't know exactly how to explain it, but if one person hits another with 10 pounds of power, 10 pounds of power are going to come back at him. He's going to reap what he sows. And if it's 100 pounds, he's going to reap 100 pounds back. There's always an opposite reaction. So we look at heaven. How does the Holy Spirit describe heaven? And Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. This is his description of heaven, Holy Spirit. Now unto him that is able to do, I'm going to skip some words, what we ask. Wouldn't that be neat? That God is able to do what we ask of him, and he will. Oh, but heaven is more than that. Unto him that is able to do all that we ask. I've left out some words. But this is better. It's not just what we ask, but all that we ask. Okay, let's get back and put the words in there. Now, unto him that is able to do above all that we ask. Well, that makes it even better. Not only whatever I ask, he's going to give me more than that. Oh, but there's more than that. Yeah, I'm still leaving out some words. Now, unto him who is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. It doesn't get any better. Oh, yes, it does. I want to read the other word that I left out. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Okay, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So we've just looked at what heaven is going to be like. Now let's look at what hell is going to be like. And remember that in John chapter 1, he starts out this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then further down in the chapter, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So every word of Scripture is as if Jesus Christ spoke it himself. So some of the quotations I'm going to give are going to be from other books in Scripture, some of them the very words that Jesus physically spoke when he was on this earth. But if heaven is so great that we can't begin to imagine how wonderful it is, hell is just the opposite. And we're not going to be able to tell that either. But the cupboard is not bare. And let's remember this. The words that I'm going to be speaking and reading to you are directed at the enemies of Jesus Christ. And these are the people who bitterly hate him. Remember that. The Father loves the Son. These people do not love the Son. They hate the Son. And the Father loves the bride of the Son. These people do not. They hate the bride of the Son. They would like to destroy the wedding that's coming up. It's been in the making for close to 6,000 years or more. They're arch enemies of God. Remember that. Okay. Job 10. Verses 21 and 22, starting out with this. Before I go, whence I shall not return, he's going to die, even to the land of darkness, and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and the shadow of death without any order, where the light is as darkness. I'm not going to tell you what this means because I can't fathom it. But one word kept coming up, didn't it? Darkness, darkness, dark, 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 dark. And the Son of God said, I am the light of the world. Well, he's not down there. A land of darkness. Darkness itself. This is the real thing down in hell. Jude, verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, hypocrites, pretending to be children of God, but they're not, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water, carried about with of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead. Twice dead. What does that mean? Plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. And here's one you're never going to forget. Raging or wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We look up into the heavens and see the beautiful stars that show the power of God. Well, these are wandering stars. They never, you know, the star that guided the wise men to the birth of Jesus, the star stopped. You see, it started moving in the east, and it moved left and kept moving. 2 years, probably, and the wise men are following this thing. And they followed it, and all of a sudden it stopped. And that marked the place of Jesus. They found him because the star stopped. These are wandering stars. They're never going to stop. And the people that are following him are going to follow forever. And they never have any rest, never going to stop, never going to find what they want. And it's reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What does that mean? The blackness of darkness forever. Revelation 16, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Notice the scene. Notice the repetition. Dark, darkness, darkness, darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. They gnashing their teeth. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. John 3, verse 36. Same chapter as John 3:16, by the way. This is John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's heaven. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But the wrath of God, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath, anger of God abideth. It rests on him forever. Terribly scary words. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. The devil is a liar and the father of it. Like father, like son. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, it's a lake of fire. And at night, we like to make a fire out in the fire pit and sit there for maybe sometimes hours gazing at it. It's a beautiful sight. The fire, the beautiful light, firelight. Well, this fire doesn't give off any light. It's a kingdom of darkness, and it's also a kingdom of fire. And as we pause here in the middle of this, and we're just getting, well, there's so much of this. Isn't it amazing that there are some people who are members of the visible Christian church who deny that there's a place called hell. Isn't that amazing? And they claim that God is a God of love, and he would not punish anybody in a place called hell forever. There's no hell, and nobody's going to be punished in it. These are people that are members of the visible Christian church. How do you understand this? How do you explain this? Well, the real explanation is this. They don't believe that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why. Because this doctrine of hell is all through Scripture. Over and over. God warning people. And anybody that denies this doesn't really believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God either. Because he preached about hell. And he's just like any other man. He can make mistakes too. That's what their thinking is. We continue. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I guess I've mentioned that one. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. We heard that combination back in Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't we? Fire and brimstone. Where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, what part of this don't people understand? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire and tormented forever and ever. What's so hard about that? A child can understand that. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But God is a God of love. Yeah, he's a God of love. But he loves the Son. And the ones who hate the Son are going to be hated by the Father also. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Well, where there's smoke, there's fire. And if the fire is going to burn forever and ever and ever, what does that mean? That means the things that are being burned are never going to burn up. They're going to live forever. It's burning fire. Everybody that's ever come into the world is going to live eternally in one place or the other, either heaven or hell. And the ones that are down in hell, the one thing they'll wish for more than, well, they'll wish for a drop of water, but they won't get it. But the one thing more than that that they wish for is that they could just be annihilated and be done with it. Well, they're not going to be annihilated, and they're not going to be done with it either. It's a living death. That's what it is, forever and ever and ever. And it's going to happen. Luke chapter 16, 24. We know this, the context here. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Jesus talks about giving one of his little ones a cup of cold water. The rich man down in hell is not concerned about a cup of water. He's pleading for a drop. One single drop. And he doesn't get it. There is no water down in hell. John 3:36. Same chapter as John 3:16 again. 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It doesn't leave. It sticks forever. Psalm 7:11. God judges the righteous, but God is angry with the wicked every day. So, when you got up this morning, one of the great comforts that you had was that you're held in the hand of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that you don't have to be afraid of what the day is going to bring forth because God is controlling it. And everything that comes your way this day and even forever is going to be a blessing to you. Well, the heathen don't have that. God is angry with the wicked every single day. And it doesn't stop. One day's just like the next. That's terrible. Isaiah 66. Two readings yet. Isaiah 66. This is the Old Testament version of Revelation 14, I believe. It seems like it to me. So Isaiah 66 begins at verse 22. And as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make. Notice he's not going to create it. He's already created things. He's going to renovate it. He's going to make them. Shall remain before me. The heaven and earth we're living in right now is going to burn up. But it's going to be renovated, it's going to be in existence forever. And as it shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. People of God are going to remain forever also. Eternal life. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh, this is used in a good term, a good way. Usually it's not. Flesh is usually a contrast to spirit. This is the new flesh, the glorified body that is like unto the body of Christ. For it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, the glorified Christ. This is the flesh he's talking about. Shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And when the worship service is over, what are they going to do? And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses. Not the bodies, the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm, their carcasses are worms. When we rise from the dead, we're going to have glorified bodies like unto the body of Christ. The wicked ones have bodies like their father, the devil. Worms, snake-like. For their worm shall not die. They're eternal. Neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So as God's elect, we're going to be able to look down into the fiery pit and see what God is giving to the devil who persecuted us, nailed our Savior to the cross, and bitterly hated him and his bride. and we'll praise God for it. Revelation 14:9, ending the sermon. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana. It was a blessing. Here's the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. It's the tough stuff. Into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The most terrifying words that were ever spoken on the face of this earth came from the mouth of the Son of God.